fills up our plates. Papa's saying grace. Louisiana living sweet as sugar on beignet.
Welcome to the Story Table, brought to you by Providence Church in Lake Providence, Louisiana, where they want you to know that you are loved. Sierra Story, Chapter 8. Did you tell Sonny? Judy Nolan waited for a response. She was sitting on the checkout counter at Cece's Plants and Patios, studying her own reflection in the window. She played with her new haircut, pulling the layers around her face and then pushing them back behind her ears. It looked pretty good both ways. She toyed with the idea of changing its color. Maybe red. That appealed to her, although a red dye job almost always looked like it came from a bottle. Judy watched Sierra checking off artificial Christmas garlands dripping with fake red apples and heavily scented pine cones. The whole shop smelled like fur. It was still weeks till Thanksgiving, and most of the plastic stuff was in. Judy sighed. She figured the retail world wouldn't be happy until everyone decorated in red and green year-round. "Well?" she asked again. Sierra kept her nose buried in the Christmas box. "Well, what?" "Did you tell Sonny?" "About?" Judy jumped off the bar and came over to where Sierra was working. She bent over and looked Sierra in the face. "About you and Charles? In college? Ring a bell?" Sierra straightened the foliage on one of the garlands before answering, "There's nothing to tell." "Oh, really? Then why did Sonny think he was introducing his new friend to his wife Friday night?" Sierra offered a wry grin. "Well, actually, he did. I mean, sort of." "This is serious, Sierra. I love you both. I don't know what's going on here, but I smell trouble. And no, I'm not overreacting. I'm concerned. This could blow up in your face. I don't think you want that." Sierra picked up two empty boxes and headed toward the storage closet. Judy picked up the last one and followed her. Sierra put the boxes inside and closed the door forcefully. "Look, I appreciate your concern," she said finally as she faced Judy. "Really, I do, and I had every intention of telling Sonny, over the weekend." Sierra's slip hung between the two women awkwardly. "It just wasn't ever a good time. Sonny cut soybeans all weekend, and Luke moped around the house like it was the end of the world. Even Lolly acted bummed, although I still think it has more to do with Jeff than with the game." Judy let the Charles thing go for a minute. "Speaking of the game, we haven't even talked about that stupid no-call on the last play. That stunk. Even I know that was interference." Sierra seized the change of subject. "I know. Sonny talked to the referees briefly when we were getting in his truck. They acted like they didn't know what all the fuss was about." "I don't believe that for a minute," Judy spat the words. "They knew they blew it." "I think you're right," Sierra said. "What is Charles Carpenter doing here?" Sierra startled, twisting around to look out the window. "No, I mean in town," Judy said. "What's he doing in town?" "How should I know? I guess just what he said. You heard him Friday night. He's doing research on some book. What did he say it was about?" Judy interrupted. "No, I mean, what is he really doing here?" Sierra rolled her aching neck from side to side and rubbed her fingers across her forehead. She pressed her fingertips hard into her temples, making small circles. The dull ache was familiar. "What would it hurt?" she reasoned. They didn't come more trustworthy than Judy, and she did need to talk about it. Judy stayed at the shop the rest of the morning, hearing the story in bits and pieces between the phone calls and paying customers. Lolly told her everything, from the day at Charles's apartment until the day he came to town. She told her about the first mystery emails. She even admitted that she enjoyed them. Without any more prompting, she told Judy how she had finally answered, opening a flood of correspondence. It felt good to get it all off her chest. When she got to the last letter from Charles, she took Judy to the computer and pulled it up. They read it together. The sound of crunching gravel broke into their thoughts. Sierra bumped the mouse. When the email returned, she sent it to the computer's trash quickly, making a mental note to erase it permanently later. "I've got to take Robert some lunch," Judy said, as the chimes tied to the shop door sounded, announcing someone's arrival. Charles Carpenter smiled at both women. When Judy looked the other way, he arched his eyebrows questioningly at Sierra. "What do you want?" Sierra asked. Her voice was cool and clinical, kind of how you would expect a hostage to negotiate with a kidnapper. "Ferns," he answered casually. He sounded as confident as a kidnapper, too, one who knew he was in the driver's seat. Judy turned her back to Charles and whispered, "You want me to stay?" "No," Sierra said. "You go on and take Robert his lunch. I'll be fine."
"You sure?"
"I'm sure." Judy barely nodded to Charles on her way out. Now that she saw him as a threat to Sierra's family, she didn't think he looked nearly so hot. She banged the door behind her. Charles and Sierra stood looking at each other for several long moments while the chimes tolled wildly before they slowed and stopped. "You shouldn't be here," Sierra said. She busied herself straightening a display of decorative flags. She felt like a stupid schoolgirl. Surely he could see her hand shaking.
"You're out of ferns?" Charles asked.
"No, I have plenty ferns. It's patience I'm low on." Her irritation didn't seem to faze him. "Good, then. I'll take two. Asparagus, if you have 'em. I'm not as good with the Bostons." Sierra put her hands on her hips and sighed deeply. Charles smiled pleasantly. "Fine," she told herself. "I can play this game." She turned on her heel and led the way outside to a hothouse full of gorgeous green ferns. She didn't have to look to see if he was following. Her skin was telegraphing his presence with little currents of electricity up and down her body. Sierra tried her voice again, this time going for her most professional sales tone. "You choose," she said evenly. Charles took a step towards her. She stepped back quickly, bumping into the wooden frame shelf holding the plants. He moved even closer until he had to look down to see into her eyes. "I already have." Sierra felt his breath on her face. He reached around her and picked up a healthy asparagus fern. "I'll take this one," he said, smiling wickedly. "And this one," he added, picking up the pot next to it. Sierra thought about slapping his cocky face, but she knew it would give him the satisfaction of knowing that he had gotten to her. Instead, she pointed back inside. "Check out is that way. They're 15 each." Charles followed her as far as the door. He stopped and pulled 2 20s from his pocket. "Keep the change, Sierra. They're worth more." Sierra watched him put the ferns in the back seat of a steel gray Yukon. She couldn't stand it any longer. "Look, just tell me what you plan to do, Charles." Charles got inside and rolled the window down before he shut the driver's door. "I plan to put them on the front porch and water them every now and then." He looked at her face and paused. "I plan to stay here as long as it takes to find out if there's a chance for us." "Let me save you some time," Sierra shouted. "There isn't. I would never leave Sunny." The words didn't sound convincing, even to her own ears.
"So you say," Charles said.
Sierra shook her head, amazed. "You are still an arrogant jerk. What does that mean?"
"Oh, I don't know.
Did you tell him about us this weekend?"
"My guess is you didn't."
Sierra hesitated a little too long.
"Why not?" Charles asked quietly.
"And if you aren't going to tell me, at least be honest with yourself." She looked away from his dark eyes before she drowned in them and went back into the shop. Many miles away, Ruth was standing at her kitchen sink listening to the plaintive voice of Sierra's mom, Elaine May.
"Really, Ruth, you do bar trouble sometimes."
Ruth pulled out a chair from the heavy oak table and dropped her weary bones into it. She really didn't know that much. She just felt it. This wasn't going to be easy to explain to Elaine. She and her sister didn't see eye to eye on that kind of thing. As little girls, they had both been raised in church, and as far as Ruth knew, Elaine still went to Sunday services. But Elaine talked about God like he was somewhere high in the heavens. She was skeptical when Ruth talked about him like a friend.
someone she could talk to and someone who talked back. "It's not so much what I know, Lane," Ruth spoke slowly. "It's just a feeling I have." "Great," thought Elaine. "Here we go." Her older sister hadn't been the same since she and Marvin moved to Colorado and made friends with that missionary couple. She couldn't remember their names, but she did remember how upset she was years ago when she had thought her sister was brainwashing Sierra, too. Her daughter had started sounding just like Ruth. At least Sierra seemed more stable about all that these days. "So what's your big feeling, Ruth?" Elaine asked, attempting to hide her skepticism. But Ruth heard it. She let it pass. "Do you remember Sierra dating a guy named Charles Carpenter when she first went to college?" "Vaguely." "Well, I remember it well." Ruth chose not to elaborate on how well. She had no desire to hurt Elaine. Ruth and Sierra had always been close. She and Marvin had never been able to have children of their own. Over the years, they had enjoyed all three of Elaine's children, taking turns visiting them on the ranch during summer breaks. But it was Sierra that stole their heart. They felt guilty for having a favorite, and they tried not to show it, making every effort to spoil them all. Marvin would lead them each around the horse pen on one of the more gentle mares. Sierra thought they were too slow, and she always wanted a faster horsey. Ruth and Sierra had spent hours together in the kitchen and on the back porch. The older woman would rock the little girl every afternoon and read her Bible stories. Sierra had been full of questions. She wanted to know why her aunt read the Bible so much. She wanted to know why she was always praying and what she was praying about. And she wondered why she smiled and cried at the same time when she prayed. It was during one of those summers that Sierra developed her own relationship with God. Sierra and Ruth had stayed close as the girl grew up. They still talked several times a week when Sierra went to college. Ruth had always struggled with their relationship. She hadn't wanted Elaine to think she was trying to take her place. Only for whatever reason, Elaine and Sierra always seemed to fight more than they talked. "Go on. What about this Charles?" Elaine questioned Ruth impatiently. "I'm not sure. Did Sierra mention that he was in Providence, supposedly working on some book?" "No," Elaine told Ruth bluntly. "She didn't mention it." "Well, she didn't tell me either, Elaine. I'd called her Friday morning before the kids went to school and got Lolly instead. Sierra was out jogging. Lolly was filling me in on the latest, and she was all excited about some writer that had moved into the Granger place. She said his name was Charles Carpenter." "And?" Elaine was clearly frustrated now, and she made no attempt to hide it. "And that gave you a weird feeling?" Ruth tried not to be offended. "Would you just hear me out? Lolly said her daddy was the only one that had met him so far, and that he wanted Sierra to have him over for supper. Lolly acted like Sierra didn't know him." "Did you ever stop to think it may be a different guy?" Elaine slowed her words down for effect. "Yes, Lane, I thought about that. But later that day, Sierra saw my number on the caller ID and called back. I point-blank asked her if it was her old boyfriend, and she said it was." Ruth waited. There was a long pause. "And this means..." "Oh, I don't know what it means, Lane, but don't you think it's strange that this guy is suddenly in Providence of all places?" This time, Ruth hurried on before Elaine could shoot her down again. "And don't you think it's strange that Sierra didn't immediately tell Sonny she already knew Charles?" "I think," Elaine answered when Ruth took a breath, "that you're making a mountain out of a molehill, as usual. Did you ask Sierra?" "Yes. She said something about it happening so fast and being busy, and she planned to tell him later." "So?" "So it sounded lame." Elaine chose not to comment, asking another question instead. "Did you mention any of this to Lolly?" "Of course not." "Good. Then I say we both stay out of it." With that, Elaine changed the subject. They spent another couple of minutes talking about the holidays coming up and whether or not they would be able to get the family all together for Christmas. Sierra's baby sister Mary was divorced and working long hours to support her two kids. It'd be hard for her to get away. Ruth didn't feel any better about Sierra when she hung up the phone. Elaine could be right, she tried to convince herself. I could be making something out of nothing. She got up and began to wash a head of lettuce for salad. She took a couple of marinated chicken breasts out of the refrigerator and began to sear them in a little oil on top of the stove. Ruth didn't cook that much anymore. Marvin didn't have the appetite he once did, and she had never been a big eater. Ruth tried to put Sierra out of her mind, but her spirit was unsettled. Once the chicken breasts were done, she diced them up in bite-sized pieces and zipped them up in a plastic bag. Then she went out onto the porch to ring the supper bell for Marvin. A partial scripture verse worked its way into her thoughts. Ruth picked up the Bible that lay beside the wicker rocker and flipped through the New Testament until she came to the passage she was looking for. She found it in the book of James. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Ruth didn't know why the scripture was in her head or if it had significance, but she closed her Bible and bowed her head to pray. She was still there when one of the new hands led Marvin to the porch. "Ma'am," the young man dipped his hat in respect, "we've been in the barn. Mr. Marvin here was helping me shoe those new mares." The older man edged toward the screen door, looking at Ruth like she was a stranger. The young man wiped a plaid sleeve across his sweaty brow. His name was Rodney. He had an honest face and an easy way with horses as well as people. They had been blessed when he showed up out of nowhere looking for work. He had a packet of referrals from people Ruth knew from market, but she hadn't read a one. Marvin had taken to him instantly. That was enough for her. In the few short weeks he had been with them, Ruth had asked herself many times how they had managed without Rodney. She didn't worry all day about Marvin anymore, and she didn't have to beg him to stay inside. Rodney got as much done as any of the other hands, and at the same time, he made Marvin feel useful instead of like a dead weight that needed babysitting. It was amazing. "You just ring that bell again if you need me, Miss Ruth. I'll be here in a flash." Ruth thanked Rodney first, then she thanked the one she knew had sent him. "I'm home," Lolly called. No answer. She headed up the stairs to her room. She couldn't remember if she saw her mom's car outside or not. "Mom?" "I'm in here, Lol." Lolly was shocked to find her mom sitting on the foot of Brandon's bed, his Bible open on her lap. Roe was the only person Lolly could remember being in that room. She put a hand on her mom's shoulder. "You okay?" "Yeah, I'm okay. Sit with me a minute." Lolly felt trapped. She didn't want to upset her mom, but she didn't want the heart-to-heart she felt coming either. She sat down at the head of the bed, unconsciously putting a little distance between them. Sierra began slowly. It's hard to believe so much time has passed. Her face screwed up and her lip trembled slightly. "I don't know where the past 5 years have gone. Sometimes I think I've been in a fog since..." Sierra's voice trailed off. She traced the embossed name on the Bible. Lolly didn't know what to say. "I'm so sorry, Mom." "Don't. Please don't." Sierra took the hem of her t-shirt and wiped at her eyes. "That's not it." Lolly didn't know what her mom was trying to say, but she could see it wasn't going where she had been afraid it was headed. "You were just a little girl when Brandon died, and now here you are in your last year of high school. I've lost more than Brandon. I haven't been there for you and Luke. Not really." Lolly opened her mouth to protest, but Sierra put her hand up to stop her. "No, don't. It's true. I've lost those years with you and Luke, and I can't ever get them back." Lolly moved closer to her mom. "Don't do this to yourself, Mom. You've always been there for us." Sierra took a deep breath. She squeezed her eyes tightly. "No, baby, I haven't. I want to say these things. They need to be said. I've missed so many opportunities. There's so much I should have said. Things about life I should have been teaching you. But I was..." And Sierra looked in Lolly's eyes and almost lost the composure she was struggling to maintain. Her daughter's face was soft, her brows knit together in concern. Sierra took a few more deep breaths and swallowed hard. "Now I feel like it's too late, and there's so much I want to say to you before you leave this home.
Mom, it's the 4th of November, Lolly said dryly, trying to lighten the mood. I think we have a day or two.
Sierra made an attempt to smile. Right. She pushed a strand of blonde hair from her daughter's face. You have grown into a beautiful, wise young woman. Lolly rolled her eyes. Please, she protested. Don't stop. They both laughed. It felt good. After a moment, Sierra's face got serious again. This should be the happiest time of your life. Lolly stiffened. She'd been right before. It was coming, the part she was dreading. But her mom surprised her again. You have your whole life ahead of you. It's exciting, huh? Lolly nodded, not really knowing where her mom was going now. Sierra went on. I know, it looks like one endless opportunity, doesn't it? Just waiting for you to dive in.
Yes'm. Sometimes I wish I could see ahead and know where my life is going and how it's going to work out. You know, where I'll be in 20 years, that sort of thing.
Sierra patted her daughter's hand. Well, that'd be nice, but not near as much fun. The thing is, Lolly, life is happening all the time while you're waiting on it all to come together.
What do you mean?
I mean that you need to pay attention to all those little decisions you're making now or about to start making really soon. It's like this. Whether you're deciding where to go to college or what to study, whether you're getting into or out of a relationship, none of those things seem monumental taken individually.
Sierra searched for the right words to express what she was feeling.
But each time you make one, you're defining your life. You're setting up markers, so to speak. And one day you'll realize that big, wide path you were on just a little while ago has narrowed into the life you've made for yourself. And you won't understand how it happened so quickly.
Mother and daughter sat quietly, Lolly trying to absorb what she had just heard, Sierra trying to figure out where it had all come from.
Whoa, Lolly murmured. That's kind of deep. I mean, it sounds sad when you put it like that.
But that's just the thing, Lol. I don't think it has to be. Not if you realize what you're doing. Not if you choose your life instead of letting it happen to you by accident. I'm a lot further down the road than you are, and I'm just beginning to see that as long as we're here.
Sierra held up one hand and motioned around the room. We always have choices.
Cool.
Lolly's attention span was gone. Okay, I'm going to get started on my homework now. She hugged her mother's neck. I'm starving. What's for supper?
Well, I guess we're through here, Sierra thought wryly. Stir-fry and salad.
She answered with a smile, knowing that Lolly would be delighted, and she was. Sonny and Luke wouldn't be so thrilled, and they weren't. Sierra went downstairs feeling pretty good about their conversation. At the very least, it was a start.